Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield. I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and engaged citizens that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. You know, usually on this show, we take time to speak with traditionally organized 501c3 nonprofit organizations, but that isn't all we really want to focus on. We're interested in learning how people use their skills and talents to make a difference in many ways. And there's a current trend towards social entrepreneurship, or, you know, different ways of looking at a business's bottom line. Some call it the triple bottom line, looking at economic, social, and environmental returns. Others dropped one of those lines and refer to the double bottom line, with gain in terms of mission and money. And nonprofits are finding ways to generate income to support their good work, so kind of behaving like for-profits in some ways. And then a lot of businesses are finding their value in social benefits and reinvesting their earnings into causes and issues instead of paying dividends to shareholders. So there's this blurring of the sector that's going on. But however many bottom lines you count, it all adds up to a lot of change potential for the community. Today we'll hear from TMI Consulting, which is a local diversity and leadership consulting firm that falls into this new category of businesses, a B Corporation. Tiffany Janna is TMI's CEO, and she's here to share more about the work they do, why diversity is a social and economic asset, and how their business model as a B Corp is different and on the front end of an emerging trend. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Now, my introduction focused more on the business structure side of a B Corp that TMI falls into. But before we get into that maybe more technical stuff, I wonder if we could talk first about what TMI Consulting focuses on. What is it that you do?
Sure. So our vision is a world that leverages inclusion to solve social challenges. And we're trying to get there through our mission, which is shifting diversity from a liability to an asset. So we work with all kinds of organizations. Anytime you've got groups of people trying to work together towards a common goal, that's a place where TMI can come and help. On an organizational level, it's sort of traditional diversity and inclusion, but training, we'll do diversity and inclusion strategy, all of the things that you'd consider sort of interpersonal and group relation stuff. And then we work in community contexts. We do civic engagement, where we're helping residents and citizens help solve their own problems on a larger community basis. And then we're also looking at having a global impact. So we just finished up a project with the German government, the German Marshall Fund, where we did a transatlantic cooperation project where we were sharing best practices from three American cities with three German cities and sort of creating some synergy with how they could all learn from each other.
Wow, that's really impressive. So international, globally known now.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Very exciting for a local firm like yours. Now, share a little bit more detail about what you mean. Like if you come into a business that's maybe asked you to come help out with diversity, what does that really look like?
So in the ideal situation, you have a company that is looking to invest in its human capital. So we recognize that our workforce is our biggest asset, and we'd like to, you know, sort of help them be as strong and effective as they can be. So we can do everything from we can go in and create a customized assessment to sort of figure out where are things going well, where are things a little bit stickier, and then we make recommendations to the organization, and then we can actually implement strategies to help leverage inclusion and diversity in a meaningful way, to help the workforce be more productive, communicate better, and we help build in assessment tools and sort of long-term learning so that we move away from the one-day diversity training model and move towards creating a long-term diversity strategy. So in diversity and inclusion, if they are values that an organization cares about, then we shouldn't have to point to one program or one day. We should be able to say, this is how inclusion is working for us 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a seminar one afternoon.
That's right.
Now, I'm curious to know if you have people call you more often when they're being proactive and they really want that long-term strategy, or is it more common for you to get a call because there's a conflict in the workplace that they're trying to deal with?
That's a really good question. We get a good mix of both, but often it is, even in the proactive calls, we'll be called in because, like, perhaps there's a change of leadership and leadership has had experiences where things have gone wrong, and they'll, you know, they'll want to sort of ward that off ahead of time, sort of mitigate challenges. But a lot of times there will be, they'll see warning signs and folks will say, you know what, we should probably get an expert in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does it work on the community level? You said you also go and provide these services for neighborhoods or mm-hmm. communities. How does that look?
So we just wrapped up a series of the community conversation series for the Future of Richmond's Past, and that was with the Valentine Richmond History Center, where we looked at sort of redefining Richmond, looking at, you know, where we've come from and how we'd like to brand and identify ourselves, and creating some synergy in that space. So it's everything from sort of that citywide thing. We also did recently a series of budget conversations with the mayor. So instead of the mayor creating the budget and then, you know, just sort of sharing with everyone, this is what it looks like, we did a series of feedback conversations and interactive. We used our audience response polling technology to get citizens to actually share what they think the priorities should be for the budget. And then city council, you know, sort of looks at those recommendations from the city and takes the, you know, the constituents as a whole as someone who has actually a viable voice in the process.
So the technology, the response technology, mm-hmm. that's the clickers, right?
Clickers, yeah. It's kind of like if you've ever seen Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when they poll the audience, uh-huh. TMI owns a bunch of that technology. So everybody who shows up at a meeting gets this, you know, tiny little wireless device, looks like a calculator, and everyone can simultaneously vote. It's integrated into PowerPoint, so we'll give them, you know, a multiple choice question, and, you know, we can have hundreds of people in a room voting, and you can see everyone's voice at the same time. It shows up as a graph or a histogram.
And they don't have to raise their hands and be called out on how they're voting.
It's they completely anonymous. Yeah. And then all of that data is captured. So it's user-entered data, and then afterwards that the software generates a report, and you have all of that really meaningful data.
And the public sector has found that to be a helpful tool, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
In terms of hearing from citizens and a resident engagement piece.
Yeah, the nice thing is that if you can get the people in the room and we can get a clicker in their hands, so your feedback, your survey response rate is just off the charts. Whether we do this on a community basis or in organizations, it is pretty typical for us to get 85 to 95% response rate, because as long as you can get them in the room, mm-hmm. we can get their vote.
Get them to click the button.
That's right.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can hear previous shows on our blog, which is inspireindeed.blogspot.com. Today, we're talking with Tiffany Janna, who's CEO of TMI, a diversity consulting firm. And Tiffany, what's your website where people can get more details about the work you do?
TMIConsultingInc.com.
TMIConsultingInc.com. Great. Now, I'm curious about the clickers, because I once met one of your colleagues and I said, oh, yeah, I know you. You're the clicker guy.
Matthew Freeman, a.k.a. the clicker guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I hope he wasn't too offended, but I think his response was, I do so much more than that. but I'm curious, how does that clicker technology complement or promote the work you're doing in terms of diversity and inclusion?
We love it in the inclusion space because we use it as more than just a data capturing tool. We also use it to spark dialogue. So one of the things, as, you know, diversity and inclusion trainers, we can walk into a room and we can say, here's the percentage of people who experience acts that they would consider sexist or racist or, you know, in some way biased, mm-hmm. and everyone would snooze. It would be a snooze fest. When we go in and we hand them the clickers and we say, how often do you experience or witness acts that you would consider biased in some way? Then all of a sudden, the room becomes the expert, and you have this, you know, you have this full spectrum of experiences, from folks who experience things that are, you know, biased every day to hardly ever. And like in a workplace environment, if you have these people who have been working together for a long time, all of a sudden they're saying, how in the world are you having a completely different experience of the world than I am? And then we get to have a very rich conversation about that. Same thing in the community context, you know, depending on the neighborhood, depending on the issue. All of a sudden, the people in the room are the experts, not the people standing in front of the room.
Right. So you can truly be participants. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's sparks conversation,
right?
That might be hard to get at.
Exactly.
Otherwise.
And you get the benefit of the wisdom that's in the room.
Great. Now, I'm kind of curious, Tiffany, how did you get involved in this work with TMI?
Well, my love of inclusion came from, I'm actually an Army brat, so I was in Texas first, born there, spoke Spanish as my first language just because my friends and my babysitter spoke Spanish, and then we moved to Germany, and my parents put me in a German school, so I picked up German, and while we were in Germany, instead of staying on base every weekend, we traveled all over Europe. And I've since traveled to 5 of 7 continents. So it was very, very, at a very young age, I was able to sort of get my mind around the fact that people have tremendous numbers of differences, but the similarities are vast and very, very meaningful as well. So that's where the inclusion bent came from. But my mother has been a diversity and inclusion entrepreneur trainer for 15 years.
Oh, she has herself.
She has. She's in Maryland, and she's thinking about retiring soon, but she works there as well.
Okay, so you really grew up with that on your mind and had a great leader in your mother to
look
up to.
I did.
Right. Now, I'm curious, in your perspective of looking at diversity and inclusion, you're going in, like, for example, for the private companies that you're working with. How do you think that it makes a difference for them, not just in terms of, the bottom line, but just what difference is it really, what's the value that TMI brings to them for
Absolutely.
The long term?
Well, when you're investing, like I said, in your biggest asset, your human capital, it's the work that we do, it will include things like communication training, conflict, sort of assessment of, implicit bias. All of the inclusion-related things have a tendency to increase productivity. They increase engagement. They increase innovation. They lower things like turnover. And the wonderful thing is, as you get people to commit to measuring over the long term, you can see that you tend to have a decrease in litigation and complaints and investigation of complaints, because you build within people the capacity to solve their own challenges, the capacity to communicate with each other instead of running out to the local newspaper and blowing up, things that are going on inside of the company. So all of the sort of interpersonal skills are actually skills. Learning to work well and communicate well across difference are skills that can be acquired, but that is an investment that a company has to make and continually refine, in order to ensure that long-term sustainability.
So if you're working employer by employer or company by company, what difference does that make sort of looking out to the broader community?
Mm-hmm. If you've got folks who are happy at work, you've got folks who are engaged at work, you've got folks who are productive, then you have more successful businesses. So depending on the goal of the business itself, if it's easy with the nonprofit sector, you've got people who are actually helping solve these really big social challenges. And with the for-profit sector, when you've got happy, engaged employees who've got high morale, that makes our community more successful and more attractive. So in terms of attracting and retaining quality, qualified talent, mm-hmm. those are the kinds of things that people look for in a city.
So I understand you were recently recognized by Richmond Society of Human Resource Managers, or SHRM. They had their Sterling Workplace Award ceremony. Was it last week?
It was last week.
Yeah,
last Wednesday.
And you got a big award. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're so excited.
Yeah. Now tell us about why you were recognized.
So they were measuring employee engagement, workforce development, community involvement, and diversity and inclusion. So obviously diversity and inclusion is what we do, but one of the things and one of the reasons that we became a B Corp as well, something that we value, is this notion of the cobbler's children has no shoes. We go into people's workplaces and help create sterling workplaces. That's what we do all the time. So it's imperative that our employees are treated exceptionally well, that they have a voice, that our environment is inclusive and empowering. So the fact that our employees nominated us for this award and that, we were able to actually rise to the top, it is incredibly, incredibly gratifying, because these are the values that we care about.
That's great. And humbling, too, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're speaking with Tiffany Janna of TMI. And Tiffany, what's your website one more time where people can learn more?
TMIconsultinginc.com.
Now, you briefly mentioned that you are a certified B Corp, and that's something that I mentioned in the beginning of the show in my introduction, talking about that blurring of the sector that's going on between private for-profit and nonprofits. So what led to your decision to, well, first, why don't you tell us about what a B Corp is?
Sure. Now, there's two different things. There's a Virginia Benefit Corporation and a certified B Corp. We are one of the few in the industries that actually has both.
Okay.
So we are a Virginia Benefit Corporation. That is a legal designation. So we are a corporation. We are for profit. What makes us a benefit corporation is that we state explicitly in our articles of incorporation that we're here to provide a benefit to society and or the environment. Obviously, with diversity and inclusion, our focus is on society.
Mm-hmm.
A certified B Corp is an optional process, an optional third-party assessment process that you go through. Every 2 years, we're basically audited and held accountable for the difference that we claim to be making in the world. So the test is harder than the SATs and the LSATs. It's one of the hardest tests I've ever taken in my life. But it's wonderful because they measure the very things we care about. They measure the diversity of all of our demographics, our workforce, our board, our clients, our vendors. They want to know, are we supporting the local community? Are our vendors within a 100-mile radius? They want to know the differential between the highest paid and the lowest paid employee in my environment. They want to know, do we have a non-compete? We, in fact, do not. We don't want prisoners. We want people who are here of their own volition, and we want to create an environment where people want to be here and want to stay. So it's incredible what they measure.
Oh, that is really interesting, the details that they get into.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I remember, and I didn't realize that there were so many different things that they looked at.
Oh.
I thought it was more about sort of what you're doing externally, but it's really more about internally what your structure is.
And
about.
It's external as well.
Okay.
It looks both ways.
How do you measure what you're doing externally? What can you
so
bring to the
they
there?
Look at all of these different social issues. So they look at things like poverty and education, community development, and they basically rank the different projects that you work on, the types of clients, what are the things that your clients do. So they look at various levels, direct impact versus indirect impact. But it is a lengthy and tedious process. But we chose to do it because the diversity and inclusion industry itself has no unified standards. There aren't barriers to entry. Anybody can sort of jump in and say that they're diversity and inclusion trainers. And the industry itself can't even agree on the definition of the word diversity. So that's a little worrisome. A lot of times we've been called in because someone else did diversity training and bad things happened as a result.
Mm.
So we're actually the first diversity and inclusion firm in the world to get this designation, and I hope that many others follow, because the very things that they're measuring are the things that we value, the things that we preach, the things that we teach.
Yeah, it sounds like it all goes very well together.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at this B Corp status, is it something that you have to renew every year?
Every
2 years they come back in?
Yeah, the legal designation stays, so people don't have to keep getting audited. But for me, I think that, sort of having that external accountability, we also have to publish our score. So if you go to TMI's site, you can go to our B Corp page and you can link to our assessment on B-Lab. B-Lab is our certifying agency. You can see our actual score and see how we measured up.
Well, great. Where is that website again?
TMIConsultingInc.com.
TMIConsultingInc.com. So that's where people can learn more about B Corporations as well?
Yes.
And the benefit corporations. So the benefit is a Virginia designation.
Right. And, okay. And right now I think we've got, oh my goodness, somewhere between 14 and 17 states that have it. And there are a bunch in process. I know Delaware just got theirs passed through. But Virginia was actually really far ahead of this legislation. Virginia was only the third state to get B Corp legislation. Is a really big deal.
That is
so
a
we're
big
leaders
deal.
In this industry.
Well, that's exciting. And
yes.
You're definitely a leader in your field of diversity trainers as well, diversity and inclusion. You're really out there on the cutting edge.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Now, again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. We're speaking with Tiffany Janna of TMI Consulting, and we were just talking about the difference between a B Corp and other types of companies that may exist. Now, before you went through the process of becoming a benefit corporation or a B Corp, you were, a for-profit consulting firm, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become aware of this as a potential for your organization? And did you have to go through a lot of changes to like refile your articles of incorporation mm-hmm. and that type of thing, the technical side, how'd that go?
This is why I love Richmond, because Richmond has so many rich resources, particularly for entrepreneurs, for people who want to get out there and do something, especially something different. I found out about B Corp through a little nonprofit called C3. I went to a C3 lunch and learn, and they were talking about structuring your business. And I was just at the point where I was ready to look at restructuring anyway. We were a Virginia partnership until that time. So when I found out about B Corp, I thought, oh my goodness, because we frequently get asked, you know, oh, you guys do diversity and inclusion. You're doing great work in the community. We see you all the time. You must be a nonprofit, right? And we're like, no, but that doesn't mean that we're evil. So this was the answer to, you know, some of our challenges in that social sphere. So in order to become a benefit corporation in Virginia, I had to be a corporation. So we incorporated from Virginia Partnership, and we, you know, sort of created a new entity and wrapped everything up and created a merger. And that was excellent. I think some of the other states, like Maryland, has a BLLC. We don't have that yet, but I know that Jennifer McClellan and some other folks are working on trying to get that here as well. So okay. If anybody had an LLC, or if you have an existing corporation, then you could, here you can get a, you can be a B Corp if you have a corporation. But if you wait a little while longer, you might be able to get it with an LLC.
So that would be a little bit smoother of a transition.
It would be a very smooth transition. Mm-hmm. You would just literally add the lines to your articles of incorporation that you're here to provide a benefit to society or the environment.
But that depends upon some changes in the law, it sounds like, or some mm-hmm. legislation.
For LLC, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, it's exciting to think that there are those, that work is in process, because it seems to me that more and more individuals are looking at new ways that they can both earn a living and give back. And mm-hmm. I've heard people say it really shouldn't be a choice. You yeah. shouldn't have to say, okay, I really want to make a difference, so I'm not going to be able to have a decent standard of living. And it shouldn't be a choice, should it?
No, it really shouldn't. And the nice thing about this whole social enterprise sector is that people can choose to give back. Like, there's a wonderful B Corp in town called Impact Makers. They are actually they're a technology firm. They do technology consulting. You wouldn't think of that as sort of save the world kind of stuff, but they are the only B Corp in the world. It is a worldwide movement that has no shareholders whatsoever. They are a for-profit entity. They do, you know, they do IT consulting, and they donate 100% of their profits back into the community, so back to nonprofit organizations. So you can do what you love. Well, if you weave baskets or underwater baskets, even as long as you can sell them, you can use whatever you do well to give back to the community if you're not doing a sort of a direct impact experience.
Yeah. So as young people are graduating from college, and the environment looks different in terms of availability of professions
right.
and jobs that are available, and it seems like more and more people are creating their own opportunities,
right.
creating their own businesses, taking the entrepreneurial spirit and creating their own way of making a living. And this is an option to explore. If you have a great idea, mm-hmm. but you know that you want to make a difference, you can still do something that may be on its surface seem like a for-profit endeavor.
Exactly.
But still get the feel good and know that you're making a difference.
Yeah. And for anyone who's interested in learning more about it, we have created an RVA meetup around social enterprise. I think our next meeting is going to be on June 20th. We haven't settled on a location yet. But we had one last month where actually the co-founder of B-Lab, Bart Houlihan, came down and talked to a bunch of folks about B-Corps. But if you're interested, join on meetup.com. Look for social enterprise in RVA and come out and join us, and we'll tell you what we know.
That's a great opportunity. So you said it's June 20th?
Yeah, June 20th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Great. And if they're not able to make that, it sounds like you are creating a network of people that are interested in this. So even if you're not able to make that meeting, mm-hmm. maybe there are other ways to connect.
Oh, yeah. You can join on meetup.com. Just look for Richmond, Virginia and social enterprise, and there's a group. You can also check the TMIConsultingInc.com website. We keep a running calendar of things that are going on as well.
Great. Now, again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed, and we are speaking with Tiffany Janna of TMI, which is a local diversity and inclusion trainer, but also globally known. I was curious about your work in Germany. I didn't realize that you had that global reach.
Yes, that is a That was something that just happened this year, working with the German Marshall Fund and doing transatlantic cooperation and civic engagement. We're being identified as leaders in the civic engagement space around certainly within the United States, but now we're extending into the international space. So in 10 years, that's what I would hope for, a TMI international location, because diversity and inclusion is an issue all over the world. The flavor is just a little bit different depending on where you go. So everywhere we travel, we see, you know, we've done some work in South Africa, which obviously is, you know, has its own set of challenges, but, you know, the work is relevant everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said earlier, when you were talking about your own experiences, you saw how there could be a lot of differences between individuals, but at the core, there are many more similarities.
Our basic needs are the same, you know? They really are.
Yeah. Well, what's next on the horizon for TMI? What are you guys looking forward to?
We're actually we're getting ready to launch a speaker series. We've created a network of really talented, really inspiring people all across the country. And frequently our clients and folks who aren't even clients yet will call us and say, you know, we need a speaker, we need a program, you know, just something for this event that we're doing. And because TMI tries to focus on that, on the long-term diversity strategy, we move away from that single day, but we realize that there's a demand for it. So we'll be launching soon on our website a whole new section for folks that are looking for that just inspiring single programmatic thing. And I don't know if you all know Patience Salgado, Kindness Girl.
Kindness Girl, yes.
Yes, she's
well known in RBA.
That's right. She's our very first. We've got six people signed up, but she's the first one that I'll announce. And so she'll be working with TMI, and we're really excited to have her.
Oh, that's great. So we're branching out and offering more to the community.
That's right.
Good.
That's right.
Well, our time has already gone up. So, Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been great.
Yeah. So, again, that was Tiffany Janna with TMI Consulting, and their website where you can learn more is TMIConsultingInc.com, correct?
That's it.
All right, great. And before signing off, I just want to say thanks to WRIR's dedicated volunteers like Andrew Hawes for engineering the show and Jesse on the board, and Brittany Tracy, who maintains the Inspire Indeed blog, which is at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. If you'd like to join our team of volunteers, you can go to wrir.org to learn more. My name's Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues and the change makers who are working to make a difference. I hope that you learned something new and are inspired to go out and make a difference with your deeds.